Is that right? Okay.
Mr. Sullivan.
All right.
Sorry, thank you.
It's 7:00, so we will get started. First thing we need to talk about is the September 26th regular meeting minutes. Do they have any discussion on them?
Well, I was just visiting with Leva. Point D made a motion to file treasurer's report. We never file anything. We always motion to approve.
No, we've done it. You have to file it for audit. They talked about that in the fire board training. It's not appropriate to approve it. Or once we approve it, then it's saying that we are responsible for that. If we file it for audit, that is the proper way to do it.
I question that.
Do you remember that too, Bob, in the fire board training?
Not that particular verbiage, no.
I specifically wrote that down because it wasn't how we were doing it. We used to approve it, and they said, no, that's not right. So we've done it that way since, when did we go to that training? June? So we've done it that way since June. We filed it for audit. Is the right way to do that?
Well, I hold exception to that, so.
Okay, I'll look for, I don't have that book with me today, that red book, but it's in there. I'll bring that if you want to see it, or I can email it to you or something.
I can talk about it with council.
Okay, anything else?
No.
If there are no exceptions, I will move that we accept the minutes from the September 26th meeting. Next is the September 26th closed session minutes. Any discussion on those?
No.
Yes.
There's no action on that motion. Let's go on.
Well, they told us that we don't have to do that either. If you don't have any, I mean, this is the way we've done it for the last few months. If there's no discussion, then we can just move forward to the next thing. If you want us to vote, we can. We haven't been because
I don't. I would take the position that you don't. None of this would be approved or anything like that. But if there's a motion made, the motion just by procedure should be dealt with. But I don't even think there's a need for your motion if you just want to move on.
Okay. I'll take that motion back and we'll approve the
minutes. That's just a purely procedural thing.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Closed session minutes from September 26th. All right. No objection then. Those are approved. And the October 4th special meeting closed session. We just got those minutes tonight. You guys have a chance to look at them. Is there any discussion on those?
No.
All right. And no objections, those are approved as well. All right, Treasurer's Report for September 2017. Is there a discussion on that?
One item under machinery and vehicle maintenance, testing of equipment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why did I even circle that? Because testing. I'll take that back. I'm sorry.
The expense that's under there was testing SCBAs and testing ladders.
Pardon?
The expense that was there, it wasn't in September, it was earlier in the year, was annual testing of breathing apparatus and annual testing of ladders.
Okay, I guess maybe that was my question for the large expense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're still under budget, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now the next section, miscellaneous expense, we're over considerable on county charges.
And that was, Connie had a note that I didn't bring with me. That was the charge for the election, about the five-member board.
Okay.
And so, you know, they give us a speculative bill, which we paid, and then they credit back what they say we should get back. We have received that refund, not of the whole amount, and I apologize, she left a note on here that I didn't bring back, but it will show up next month.
Okay, so do you recall how much the credit was?
I don't know off the top of my
head. $1,000 or?
I believe it was, yeah, approximately $1,000. I can look that up for you.
Well, that's not, that's fine. It'll show up.
Anything else?
Not in the treasurer's report.
Okay. And I will move that we file that for audit.
Yes.
All those in favor? Aye.
No.
All right. Motion passes. Next up is the chief report.
All right. For September, we responded to 97 incidents. We're just a few off from last year. So far, we've had a total of 67 overlapping incidents for the year. The guys have gotten busy into our public education time with it being, we don't necessarily have just fire prevention week, it turns into fire prevention month. So you'll see a big jump in there for public education events. We also had several large public relations events, including the homecoming parade and then all the downtown 150th celebrations with the city and so forth. So you'll see a big jump in those numbers for next next month. We had a total of four plan reviews for construction in the district that falls under our jurisdiction. Under training, training for the month, incident command training, scene management, firefighter safety was a lot of the focus. A lot of training time still spent getting the new pump operators up to speed following their initial training. The three captains attended a two-day incident safety officer course, which they then brought that information back to their shifts, and we'll be reviewing with them. Firefighter Craig Bryan attended a two-day emergency vehicle driver program to be an instructor for that. We'll be able to provide that class in-house. I'm also an instructor for that, but it makes it easier if you have two, and that's provided by our insurance carrier, PFIS. All three shifts in September attended a training session with Northland Regional Ambulance on some new resuscitation techniques. And since that time, then in this month, we've also done some scenario-based training with them, and we'll continue doing that in the future to get some more experience built with them. Under maintenance, our project to Station 1 continues. The North Bay has been painted, and A-Shift has started to assemble the training props and so forth that we used in that new space. It's now clean and mostly dry. We found some issues with, we still have a few leaks from the exterior walls themselves, and they've done a lot of fixing of cracks and door frames and windowsills and that kind of thing. So that's coming along great. The next thing we'll probably do is look to replace the exterior lighting that's around that building, provide a little bit better security, and that project's really come along great. Here at Station 2, the LED lighting project was finished. We had a small leak during that heavy rain in August. We had a leak in the kitchen and in one of the front bathrooms. We contacted our insurance carrier, who sent out an adjuster. He actually came out twice, and he said, well, there's some dents in the roof and a few other marks on the side of the building and so forth. And then the insurance company sent out an engineer that said, all this is maintenance-based, you don't have any hail damage. So I don't know exactly where we stand on that yet. I'm kind of waiting for their final resolution, but we're going to need some annual updating maintenance for our roof. In my time here, we've only done the bare minimum. We, you know, cock around some flashing here and there, but it hasn't received the upkeep maintenance that it should. So I'm kind of waiting, like I said, waiting on their final determination before I have anybody do anything up there. And
Dave, excuse me,
yes,
the roof we have up there, is it one of those vinyl coating roofs?
No, it's steel. It's all steel. That's on this station here, it's all steel.
Okay. Yep. And so the issues would be around where seams are?
Yeah, seams and the grommets that go around vent pipes and so forth like that. Okay. When the engineer looked at it, he said, well, these are maintenance issues and this all just needs, you know, this needs maintenance attention. He said we didn't have any hail damage. The adjuster that came out the first time said there is hail damage. There's dents all over the place. So I'm kind of waiting to see their final resolution on that before we do any action. Station 3, they began installing the IT system. They are done with their wiring inside the building. And Isotech is making arrangements to actually put the tower up on the site. And Isotech hopes to be finished by the end of October and have that have their equipment online. So we'll see how that goes. Under apparatus maintenance, the 2004 Precision pumper had a rear intake controls repaired. Precision was back and looked at a few issues on the new truck, one of which was the electrical generator on it started to not perform properly. So they tried adjusting it, didn't work, so the manufacturer just replaced it. So we've had no issues since then. On the tanker, we had replaced batteries on it. They were the original ones from that truck, or with that truck. Here at the station, probably kind of waiting on this this roof issue, but the concrete around the fire hydrant out front, we're gonna have to address that and have that concrete repaired. It's where the guys park when they train or refill the truck. And, you know, just over time, I mean, that's the original stuff out there, original concrete. It started to crack and really break up. So we're going to have that cut out and replace that section of concrete. I don't know. We'll have to see if that's a end of this year thing or if we wait till spring. The water line doesn't run right underneath there, so I don't think it's a critical thing right now, but it's going to cause us further problems eventually.
Is that something that we'll have to bid out? Huge cost?
I think we should be able to do it under the $10,000 limit that would require us to advertise the project. Mm-hmm. I understand we should be able to just take bids to okay. do that work. So under administration, we did receive our new ISO classification. We are now a 510. So all property within 5 miles of either Station 2 or Station 3, or within 5 miles of any of our mutual aid stations, that those properties are now a Class 5. So that's a big improvement. Any property that's outside of 5 road miles from those are now a Class 10.
Would you have any hazard, I guess, of how many residents are outside that 10-mile radius?
I don't know.
5 miles?
It'd be five miles. 5 miles of a station.
Well, I mean, that we're in a Class 10, though, I guess.
Oh, so. That are now? You know, there's
after this goes into effect.
Yeah. It'll be a fair amount.
Really?
You know, you talk about the Valley Brook subdivision and, you know, south down Long Road, WHB, you know, those kind of areas. So it'll be the outlying areas that are affected that way. So I have a meeting planned with our ISO representative to after this evaluation, see where we can gain some ground. there's not a limit on when you can be reassessed. So we'll look to, you know, once we get the new tanker in a station three, those kind of things, we can be reassessed and see where we can make up some additional points from there. So that new rating, the 510 rating, will take effect January 1.
And we're currently at what, six?
Well, it was interesting. I was always told we were a 6.9. 6 miles within this station. If you were within 5 miles of this station, you were six. I take it back. If you were within 5 miles of this station and within 1,000 feet of a hydrant, you were a six. If you were greater than 5 miles or in an area that didn't have a hydrant, then you were a nine. Technically, we were wrong in what we were telling people, is that we were a 6.9 or a 10, because those properties that were greater than 5 miles were a 10. That was never made incredibly clear to me, and in my time here, we've always told people 6.9. And they said, well, you were a 6.9, 10. But we had areas that were 10s.
But we have... It's obvious we've received some positive insurance influence from having a new station.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That brings a lot more people that used to be a 9 or a 10, brings them into a 5. So there's a large portion of the district that went from a 9 to a 5, which is a big jump.
So now if you're within 5 miles Station 3, but you don't have a hydrant, you're still a 5?
Yes. Yeah, they dropped the if you have a hydrant or not issue. Between the tanker that we have and the amount of water that we carry and the tanker capability of our mutual aid departments, everybody's got a couple of tankers. Worse than going to have two tankers. In the future, we'll have two tankers. That equates... They said we can create enough water with tankers the same as having a hydrant. We can establish that minimum flow. So they dropped the within a hydrant category. So now it's just on mileage.
Awesome.
Okay. The firefighters set up a kids' obstacle course at the 150th celebration of the city of Smithville and the school district, and it was a big... It was a big hit. We ran a lot of kids through that. They loved it. The firefighters collected for the Muscular Dystrophy Association on the Labor Day holiday and collected a little over $6,000 that was given to that organization. I got some final numbers after I sent out the packets, but I've included for you a draft of 2018 budget for your input, and we can talk about that further next month. We've updated our social media accounts to provide improved communication and interaction with the community. And that's all I have, unless you have any additional questions.
So we're going to put the 18 budget on the agenda for approval next month. Dave, is that the idea?
That we intend, yes.
Thanks to all you guys for working so hard at that obstacle course. That was the coolest thing down there, and I know all the kids enjoyed it. The adults enjoyed watching the Jaws of Life demonstrations, and it was really cool. We might have should have asked for costumes since we're so close to Halloween, because there's a couple people in this room that had some pretty great costumes.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Okay, so I'll miss that.
It was quite the celebration.
There's pictures.
It was quite the celebration.
It was a lot of fun. All right. Anybody have any other questions, comments? And we'll move that we accept the chief's report as written. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We'll move on to public comment. Nick Traub.
My name is Nick Traub, 4835 Lisa's Lane.
I'd like to say good evening, everybody. I'm the president of the Smithville Area Firefighters Local 4945, and I'm speaking on behalf of all of the membership. We felt it was important at this time to our membership to make a public statement regarding the recent media coverage of the subpoenas issued by the Missouri State Auditor's Office. As many of you might know, Local 4945 supported the petition started by Charlie Waters. We helped him collect signatures and inform taxpayers about the issues covering the audit. Our local believed this audit would help the fire district identify areas where they could be more efficient and compliant. The principles of transparency and accountability have resonated with the taxpayers and the voters of this community for the past 2 years with regards to the fire district. After watching and assisting the auditors from the state, many members of Local 4945 grew to respect and admire the work that they did for the taxpayers and for the community. It is our goal at this time to highlight the immense effort that our administrative assistant, Connie Massey, acting fire chief Dave Klein, and our board of directors has put forth to comply with all the wishes of those people who signed the audit petition. We do, of course, encourage the district, including Chief Callahan, to provide the auditor with any additional requested documents to the fullest extent possible. Local 4945 applauds your commitment and dedication to make this the best fire district possible. We look forward to assisting the district in any way possible moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So thank you for that. You got any comments? No? All right. That's it. We'll move on then to old business, the dedication plaque on Station 3.
What I provided last month as an option for not just Station 3, but also Station 1 downtown, and here at Station 2, were the large metal plaques. They're roughly 24 inches by 21 inches wide. They're made to resemble a front piece on a firefighter's helmet. I did work with the company that makes those and had them provide some examples for Station 1 and Station 2 as well. So I just offer that up for your consideration. And these were $200 a piece.
I like them. I think they're really cool. What do you guys think?
I do. I think they're nice.
How long would it take them to get them done?
I didn't ask. They typically, I know on helmet fronts, they have a fairly quick turnaround.
Yeah. I'm curious, Dave. To me, it jumps out that it's something misleading. Station 3 has paradise on it. Station 2 has established 2001, which is that the career district establishment, or is that Station 1 here? Station 2 here renovated for
the renovation, and you know when they started running out of this station.
Okay. I guess I would like to see a year on Station 3 as. You know, you've got years on the other two.
Sure.
Just an observation
lines?
For me.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, could they put two lines where it said Smithville established 2001 and this one said Paradise established 2017?
I would think so. Where the Station 1 dedicated to Smithville's volunteer firefighters, I had originally, my suggestion was, or my, you know, idea is I typed it out, described it to him, was for that to be in that bottom banner. But I know it's all a computer program, so I don't know why they couldn't add the city name and a year on each one of those.
I think it would be more informative, for lack of a better word.
No, I like that too. I mean, if it said at least in Smithville on station two, I like that idea better too.
And then the year underneath Paradise.
I like the idea that you've got the dedicated to Smithville volunteer firefighters on the initial one from station one.
Any other comments?
Looks good.
Well, I move that we accept these with those changes. And go ahead and have you put those away.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Number four on here, let's see. All right, we have the presentation of the 2016 financial audit report.
Yes, we have the final version of the audit report here tonight. As we went through last month, we went through the financial numbers, so I'm not going to really repeat that unless the board sees some value in that. What I will address is the changes from the prior adjust or prior time here. So what was added were the what's called the MD&A section, which is management discussion and analysis. And basically that's just a kind of a word version of the numbers and highlights different aspects of the financial numbers. So there's no additional information here. It's just a different presentation of the numbers that were already there. So pages six through 14 were added. The first section on page six covers some financial highlights. The district's revenues exceeded expenses by $225,000 in 2016. There was an increase in capital assets of $1,000,008, which was the additions to the fire station. I believe the fire station opened in March of 17, so there will be more added to that in 17, but that was the 16 improvements that were made to the new station. We have a number there on the third line item. We talked about sales and property taxes. Sales tax increased 2.1%, which was comparative to the prior year. The property tax shows an increase of 35%, which is a little misleading, but you had an increase to your debt service fund because of the bond issue in 15, and that's kind of throwing that percentage a little out of whack, but there was a 10-cent increase on the debt service fund that year. So. Nothing else. There's anything that stands out. Page seven, we talked about the basis of accounting, which is the modified cash basis, which we've discussed previously. Just kind of gives you a summary of some of the different information that's presented in the report. Page eight has a table that shows kind of the changes between the checking and savings account, capital asset accounts, bonds, and just gives you an increase, decrease over the prior year. Capital assets, again, increase net of depreciation, about $1,005,000. $1,008,000 was the increase in the building, and then the $300,000 was corresponding depreciation with other items on the books. Page nine does a comparison of your, what you normally refer to as your income statement, your taxes, and certain expense categories that are kind of pertinent, shows the increase or decrease to the prior year. Page 10, to show the fund balance decreased about $1,008,000, which that kind of looks kind of abnormal, but what that was is the bond issue was done at the end of 15, so all that money got parked into the capital projects fund and then was expended in 16, so that's the reason. You had a major uptake in 15 because of the bond issue and the corresponding decrease in 16. So nothing unusual, just kind of looks different from normal presentation. Page 11 is a graph, one graph there showing that about 70% of the revenue is from property taxes, 29% from sales tax, and 1% from other sources. And then it's got a breakdown in some of your expense categories as well. Page 12, again, is another comparison of 15 versus 16 numbers and the increase, decrease, and that was on the operating costs and debt service. Nothing kind of out of normal there. Page 13, I will address, because I would like the board's approval to make one change here. As I was driving over tonight, I found a typo, so I would like to correct that in the final version. Down under the long-term debt, it says the Series 2009 bonds. It says bonds retired during 2015. That should say 2016. That was $150,000 paid towards the 2009 bonds.
2015 should be changed to 2016?
Yep, on that second line under the 2009 Series 2009 bond issue. And then that shows as of the end of 2016, there was $150,000 remaining on the 2009 bonds. I believe that's been paid or will be paid here shortly. So the only remaining debt now is the 2015 series bonds. And then page 14 is just kind of some general information. And then the one other item that did change was in the back, which we had discussed last month, with regards to the FDIC insurance on the bank. As the cash position exceeds the FDIC insurance, basically the bank pledges securities in excess of that amount. And I'm sorry, I'm not finding the page here.
We're on page 40.
40. So total deposits with the bank at the end of 16 or 2 million, about 2 million two. So you have FDIC insurance of 250,000. The bank had pledged 2.35 million. So you actually had a surplus of 428,000, which is what we were expecting. We knew we had a bad number in there. So that was the only change to the back part of the financials from the previous month. So if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Wilson, what I know you can't relate specifics, but do you do other municipalities, other fire districts?
Yes, we do.
And how would you stack us financially with some of those other districts?
Yeah, the district's very strong. I mean, I think you're in very good shape here. It's hard to compare districts because of, you know, maybe the area they serve, or there's so many differences in that regard. Nothing that I see stands out as a negative with regards to the financials. You've got a good cash position. You've had major improvements. You've got the debt that's being paid down, but nothing that I would consider kind of an unusual or alarming number in the financials anywhere.
And comparable to other positive districts, or?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Thank you.
And then once we have approval on this, I will contact Gilmore Bell, and they will do an addendum to the previous report that was filed with the state to file the final audit report once it's approved. So, okay. And then I will be meeting with Connie here either later this week or next week to give her our final audit changes to update her books accordingly. And then, I guess, any other questions, we're always available to answer those for you.
What you are bringing over to Condi, then I'll have that 2015 change.
Yeah, I will have that change in it. We will do a chief finance for two bound copies and one PDF version.
Okay.
So we will provide all that next week as well.
So we're
any other questions?
We're looking for approval of this now.
Yes.
I so move.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we are ready to move on to new business for the sale of surplus equipment.
With the two recent projects, replacing the copier and the LED upgrade. I would like to your approval to move forward in disposing of those items. The copier still works as of when it's unplugged at work, so it's going to be a problem when it does break for somebody else. And the light fixtures from the apparatus bay are the big aluminum high-pressure sodium lights. I think if we try to recycle them, scrap them, whatever, they have a large transformer inside there that I think they may not take them, or we'd have to take that thing out and get rid of it some other way. So I guess I'm looking for some direction on would you like to advertise locally and take bids on them? There's also, I guess that's one option. There's also the statewide, it goes through the state of Missouri, fire marshal's office, where a fire department can give away anything from bunker gear to trucks to, and I did ask them on this equipment, they can list it on their website, and you know, if you want to donate it to someone, they can come take it. It's all their responsibility, their liability, and their from then on out. The copier itself, you know, if we put a value to it, you know, I don't know that it really has any value, as it, you know, it's prone to fail while we replaced it. The light fixtures, I know some of them, the transformer, that giant ballast inside there didn't work, so they're not all functioning units. I guess my only thing with that would be take one, you take all. You know, I want to get them off the floor. So
how many of these are you talking about, Dave?
12. 12 of those big light fixtures.
It's on this sheet.
Okay.
That's part of your packet.
Okay. I guess I would be in favor of the quickest disposal method. Would that be to advertise them to other departments? Or
probably on that statewide list. I mean, there's somebody who's, you know, a smaller fire department somewhere says, hey, maybe it's better than a copier that they don't have, or one that's broken. The lights, you know, the majority of them are functional. I know there's some that either had ballast issues or a bulb issue, but you know, somewhere in the state of Missouri, it's probably better than what somebody else has currently.
Especially some volunteer departments,
sure,
or something.
Yeah.
You have an opinion on that?
Mm-hmm. I'd say post them and see if somebody will take them. If they won't, then we'll see if there's any liability on the surplus for the lighting, whether you can dispose of it. And if not,
how do we get rid of them if nobody wants them?
Yeah.
I'd have to check into that. If, you know, a battery place would take those transformers, you know, we'd have to do some research on that. If it would not fit in the dumpster, I know we can't do that.
See if you can give them away in the next 30 days. If not, we'll recycle them somewhere.
Okay.
Does that need to be a motion, Jay?
I would say no, because that's within the chief's acting chief's management discretion.
Okay.
For valueless property.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for taking care of that. All right. That is all we have. At this time, move that we go into closed session as authorized by the State of Missouri Sunshine Law 610-21 for legal and personnel to close the meeting.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call vote, Bob?
Aye.
Good?
Yes.
I am a yes. Thanks, everybody, for coming. The next meeting is Tuesday, November 28th. Okay.
We have to have a technical
manager. Excuse me?
Not until I get this aired out a little bit.
Okay, go ahead. If you want to change that, that'd be awesome. I'll give you this.